We're in this series called Gifted, and I was talking last week about this Johnny Cash song about Lord, 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 is there a place for me? I think a lot of us have that question, right? Like, where is my purpose? Where do I fit? Where am I going to be taken care of but also be needed? And we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts as we get into this passage, but we're going to come at it from a different angle, right? A spiritual gift is something that God just gives us by grace, right? When we say, Jesus, I need forgiveness. Jesus, I want to live my life for you. Jesus, by grace, gives whatever he wants to give to us, right? We don't earn that. But as much as it's not about earning it, the passage we're going to talk about today, it's going to talk about faith and obedience. And I want to make sure we don't miss that piece of it. And so when I think about faith and the tie to obedience, because it's easy to say, like, oh, I have faith in God, and leave it kind of like a vague, like, I would check, you know, Christian, not Buddhist on a form or something, right? But faith in Jesus is a lot more active than, like, what you would check on a form or check on a box, right? So I've got this picture here of a little kid maybe learning to swim. And I don't know what your history with water has been, but if you were a little kid that had a loving adult say, hey, come jump into this water with me, and you did not know how to swim, I want you to remember that memory. And if you don't have that memory, I want you to imagine what that's like. Because when you're a little kid and you don't know how to swim, a big thing of water is pretty scary. And the only thing that makes it not scary and overwhelming is if you have a really good trust in whoever that is with their open arms, right? Probably not your slightly older brother or something, right, that you just think is going to, like, dunk you under, right? If you really trust the person with arms open to you, you've got a lot of faith in them, then you can jump into something that you can't handle, right? And I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and they were being very open with me, right, about, like, this is what I want, and this is what God says I should do, and they're not the same, right? And what we talked about is, like, that, well, this is this opportunity for faith. Like, when you know you're sick of being unemployed and God wants you to have a job, it doesn't really take faith to go looking for a job, right? You're like, I want it, God wants it, let's do it, right? But when what you think is going to make you happy is over here, and God's saying, whatever you do, don't go over there, like, that's a faith. Faith is the gap there, where you trust that God's way is better than you understand. Little kids do stuff all the time that takes way more guts than what most of us do in our weeks, right? Like, we'll see a little kid jump into water that could, like, totally overwhelm and kill them, and they have no capability to handle it, but they just trust another human being enough to do it. Like, adults don't normally live like that, right? Adults don't have that much courage of, like, this is only going to work out if someone else takes care of me. Like, adults normally can't handle that, right? They got to, like, I got to trust. I got to be in control myself. I need some crazy contraption so I can touch the bottom of the pool myself. Or I need to rebuild the whole pool so I can be in control or whatever, right? But we'll watch kids do it, right? All of us today, there's some step of obedience that's going to feel like that pool. There's some step of obedience that's going to feel like, I can't handle that. If I take the next step, I'm going to be in over my head. I'm going to be out of control. Only if God puts his hands on me is this going to work out. Some of you probably already know specifically in your life what that area is. I'm not going to make you share. The microphone's down here. I'm not going to pick it up. But just raise a hand. Like, how many people are like, I know an area that, like, would feel like jumping in the pool if I was going to obey God, right? There's a lot of us, right? You already have the specific thing God wants you to do, right? I'm going to give you a quote that at first you're going to be like, what's this? And it's dug out of, like, Scotland 150 or 200 years ago, and you're like, why did you do that to me, Jake? If you know who C.S. Lewis is, C.S. Lewis said George MacDonald, he doesn't know any writer that was more consistently close to the Holy Spirit than George MacDonald. So I'll give you that little preview. Like, it's worth digging at this next quote, okay? So here's George's thoughts on faith. He says, faith is leaving your way your objects, yourself, and taking Jesus's way and taking Jesus. Leaving your trust in men or in people. Leaving your trust in money. Leaving your trust in opinion. Leaving your trust in character. Leaving your trust even in atonement itself. What does he mean there? Some people walk around like, well, I know a fact that like Jesus died and Jesus is worth so much, and no matter what I do, I'm just going to trust that Jesus is going to take care of it all. Like that might even work out. But you're not living in faith, right, in that moment. You're like fact-checking or trying to like legalese your way out of following God. He says, faith is, this very bottom line, doing as Jesus tells you. After this, he says, I can't find bigger words for obedience, right? Like if he had them, he would use them. Faith is doing as Jesus tells you. Faith is doing as Jesus tells you. So the thing in your life that you know the Bible says that you should be doing, you know that you should not have sex until you're married, or whatever you've done in the past, you should stop and not have sex until you're married, or the Bible tells you that you should not lie, or the Bible tells you you should care for the poor, whatever. There's all sorts of stuff the Bible's telling you, right? Or maybe it's just the Holy Spirit himself has told you, you need to be good to that aunt that nobody else is being good to you, or whatever it might be, right? You need to love that person that nobody else is loving. You need to take care of that elderly neighbor that nobody else is caring about. You can kind of see your own faith and where you're at with, like, are you doing that next thing that he told you to do or not? And it's not that you're perfect at it. It's not that when you go over to that neighbor's house, you know everything perfect to say or whatever, right? When the kid jumps in the pool, they're kind of like, ah, you know? They jumped into the pool, though, right? Like, their part wasn't to be able to swim. Their part was to show up, right? Like, God's right there to help. They did the thing the adult said to do. Now God's going to help them. If you do the thing God tells you to do, God's going to help, right? There might be some flailing for a little bit, but God's going to be involved. Now, why do I bring up all this obedience stuff, and then we're going to talk about spiritual gifts? Well, I want you to turn your Bibles now. I think we're ready for talking about spiritual gifts. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 13. And the whole chapter is amazing, so I hate to only do these 10 or 11 verses. But the nice thing is you guys have got Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, grab one, right? Like, you can read Romans 12 whatever you want, right? I won't even be offended if you read it right now, right? If you're like, I got better stuff to read than Jake, right? So, but we're going to look at these verses, okay? Verse 3 is where we're going to get at this idea of faith right out of the gate, but it's easy to miss. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, I'm going to pause this. Grace given me, if you read like Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he goes into a lot more detail here. But Paul was given grace to be an apostle, to be sent by God to start some stuff that God wanted to get started. If you don't know this, like, Paul's kind of a big deal, right? You know, I mean, like, Paul has been really gifted by Jesus. And so what he's saying is, Jesus has put some special stuff in me, and I want you to listen up, okay? What do we listen up to? He says, do not think of yourself more what? Highly than you ought. So if Paul had to say something to us today, it's like, don't think too highly of yourself. But rather, think of yourself with sober judgment, right? Like a clear mind, not under the influence of any other stuff, right? In accordance with the what? The faith God has distributed to each of you. So when you're looking at yourself, some of us don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel confident because of our height or our weight or our education or because we don't know this or that person. But here he's saying, have a self-view of where is your trust level with God. And if you got a lot of trust in God, like, realize that. Like, you're a strong person. And strong people in the kingdom of heaven, they're supposed to help weak people, right? If you got a lot of trust in God, then you're a strong person in whatever room you come into. If you don't have a lot of trust in God, it doesn't matter how talented or attractive or whatever else you are, like, you're on the weaker side, right? And it's okay, like, try to learn from other people, right? Have that posture of, I got something I can learn. And how do you know whether you trust God or not, right? If we take George's idea, it's like, are you doing the things Jesus tells you to do? None of us are perfect at it, but you know yourself. Like, a lot of you raised your hands. Like, you know whether you're getting more trust in God or less. Are you jumping into more pools that you can't handle because Jesus is telling you to, or are you backing away, right? Are you growing or are you dying? So here he says, big thing is don't think too highly of yourself. Why are we talking about that with spiritual gifts? The thing about spiritual gifts is when you start using them, it's like Jesus himself is doing something through you. And it's powerful. And what's going to happen is other people are going to notice, like, whoa, Maddox, like when you did that thing, like God shined through you, right? Or Brandon, like Brandon and I were doing this flower thing that Mike put together the other day. I was getting to know him just a little bit. Like, Jesus can put something in Brandon that nobody else has, right? And at some point, if he's using that over and over with faith, people are going to notice it and think, like, oh, that's a big deal. And you can get kind of a big head, even though it's like, that was just a gift. Like, somebody else put that in your hands. If you have some giant thing dropped off at your house by an Amazon person, that Amazon person doesn't walk away thinking, like, man, that printer's really complicated, man, but I delivered it, right? You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, it's like, it's not a big deal, right? Like, Amazon gave it to me, I dropped it off at your house, right? God gives us stuff, we give it to other people. Like, we shouldn't feel super like, I'm a big deal because I did a big thing. Are we trusting God with what we've been given? Did you jump in over your head because God told you to? Like, that's a big deal. But not like if you accomplish something big and shiny, that's not the thing to put pride in, right? And when you get into the realm of spiritual gifts, before you get into the details, right out of the gate, he gives us this warning, because if you start growing in your spiritual gifts, you're going to be tempted to be prideful. You guys hear that? If you start growing in your spiritual gifts, you're going to be tempted to be prideful. So right out of the gate, super gifted Paul is like, I got something to tell you before we get into the details here. Don't think too much of yourself. Okay? Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body, talking about our physical body, with many members, like an elbow, a knee, a liver, all that stuff, and these members all do not have the same function. Verse 5. Or actually, are we going to a picture here? I'm sorry. We do have this picture. Sorry. So this is like a kneecap and the muscles and everything. Like, this is what's busted on Patrick Mahomes, right? And it's a big deal, right? You know, like, that's one little part of your body. It's pretty small comparatively, right? And for him, it's just a couple ligaments. And has a lot of ripple effects when it's not working. A lot of our body parts we don't appreciate until they're broken. But also think about the function of a knee. There's a whole lot of amazing engineering and stuff that God did to make that knee. But that knee doesn't have any hope to pump blood. And really, it shouldn't even mess with my arms or whatever, right? Like, it's made to do something very specific, and it should do that. You are made by Jesus with specific strengths to be a part of a body of believers. And you don't have to do it all. I was talking with Lance earlier today. I'm going to say some stuff you've already said to a bunch of people, so hopefully that's okay. I don't feel like this is putting it out there, yeah. So, you know, Lance and I were talking one day about him being the elbow, right? And Lance was bringing people to church, and he was trying to do the total package from start to finish, right? Like, build the whole airplane himself. And he realized, in this season, me just bringing them to church is enough. Other people are also going to help. Like, I'm just the elbow, right? It took some of the pressure off of Lance of, like, I can do this one thing well. Lance could get some people to come to church that I can never get to come to church or something, right? But he doesn't have to do it all on his own. For you, you're not supposed to do it all. You're supposed to figure out, what is my part, right? Okay, verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, there's lots of Christians in the world. We don't all get in the same room. There's lots of Christians in Independence. We don't all get in the same room. Ideally, right, we'd be one body under Jesus, but practically speaking, like, how does this work right now? It's like Jesus has us in churches, right? We're supposed to be with other Christian believers doing stuff together. That last line, we belong to all the others. How's that How are you doing on that when you look around this room? Yeah? Kyle says we're doing pretty good. That's cool. I like that. Like, not pretty good. Oh, I got you. Okay. I was like, I recently heard somebody, not a Maywood person, but somebody talking about they were at a church and some homeless people were there. And they were kind of having this little judgmental talk in their head about, like, why isn't this church doing more for these homeless guys? And the nice thing about when you got a relationship with Jesus is sometimes Jesus takes your complaints and he turns them into something productive, right? Like, Jesus is a master. Like, he could do anything, right? He can take something as useless as a complaint. Like, those are just total trash, typically. He could take that complaint, that judgmental attitude, and he can turn it into something good. What he turned it in for that guy is he said, hey, by the way, you have a biological brother that's maybe just a couple months away from being homeless, and you're waiting for him to ask you for help. Why are you waiting for him to ask you for help? Why don't you go help him? I've given you a good job. I've blessed you a bunch. Like, why don't you go help your brother? It's like, oof, right? Are we waiting for somebody to ask us for help in this room? Now, I'll tell you, right, I've had Josh Monk chew me out in the hallway of like, Jake, you've given money to this person and this person and this person, and they went out and bought drugs with it. Stop, you know? I'm not just saying, like, be foolish in how you try to help. But if you know that God could use you to help somebody else, like, do we belong to each other, right? Are we at least trying to figure that out with Jesus? I know from trying to help people it's messy, and I don't do it right all the time, but like, are we at least jumping in the pool? Are we at least trying? Okay, verse 6, keep going here. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. I want to point out real quick before we get into the specifics here. It's going to list a bunch of specific gifts, and I want you to realize your gifts are going to be different than someone else's. Right, so like Ryan and Kathy, they're sitting close to each other. Totally different gifts from Jesus, probably. And I'm going to warn you, it's really easy to judge people that are differently gifted from you, right? If you can think again about the body parts, like the nose has a hard time getting along with the feet, right? And like God arranged it even to where they're not very close to each other, right? I mean, like that's just how it's going to work out better, right? They got totally different jobs, right? And they just don't even understand each other if they were people, right? And they're supposed to be doing totally different stuff. When we look at this list, imagine if somebody had that gift, it'd be easy for them to judge somebody else on this list. Because they don't do anything. They smell bad or whatever, right? You know, like they're a nuisance. Just realize, like, you probably are not even the same body part as that person. Like, be really slow to judge that they're not doing anything for Jesus or that they don't matter. Right? Okay. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. We talked about prophecy, I think, a little bit yesterday. This idea of a message given from God. If you want to know more about prophecy, your Bible is a great place to start. Of like, towards the end of the Old Testament, whole lot of prophecy. In the New Testament, there's some examples of prophecy, right? And anytime, any of these gifts, you can see them in Jesus, right? But when you read through those prophecies, you see these themes, right? Like, people who are very concerned and sharing a message about we got to honor God. Very concerned that we got to treat the poor well, right? These are some themes that come out with prophecy, right? We can get more into it, but if you feel like God's given you stuff to say to other people, it's worth digging into it, right? And the trust you have with God should kind of guide how bold you are with those messages, right? Okay, verse 7. If it's serving, then serve. This doesn't seem like rocket science, right? Don't copy off all the other body parts around you. Like, figure out, like, what did God gift me at, and then do that thing. If it's teaching, what should you do? Teach, right? So we have people every week greeting at the doors, but one of the greeters this morning was talking about not everybody should greet, which I actually kind of thought was, like, an interesting comment. I was like, huh, like, we set up serve teams so, like, anybody could do it. But she was talking about if you're angry, you shouldn't be greeting at the door this morning. Like, go get that worked out. You know, like, go talk to somebody about being angry, right? And I was like, that's a good point, right? And then she went a little further, basically to talk about hosting, right? And that greeting at the door is a big deal, and not everybody can do it. And I thought, like, that's an interesting way to look at it, right? Like, this stuff that we're doing really matters. Find a job that you feel like, I can do this one I can do this one with Jesus, right? And then do it. It's simple, right? But this is a verse in the Bible, right? It has something to teach us. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If you're not doing anything in service of Jesus outside of these walls or in these walls, then apply this, right? And you don't have to wait till you got a year sober. You don't have to wait till you got 12 days sober. You don't have to wait until you're 12 years old. If you've said to Jesus, Jesus, I love you, I want to live for you, then you can start doing something for Jesus. There's no kid-sized Holy Spirit. There's no sponsored approved Holy Spirit. As soon as you have the Holy Spirit, you're ready to do something for Jesus with that, right? Don't think too highly of yourself, but don't not do anything, okay? Verse 8. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement, right? Same theme. This morning, huge blessing to me. One of the, before we even did morning prayer, I had somebody come and encourage Daniel and I. And it was this big gift. And then it got Daniel and I even talking differently to each other, at a deeper level, right? That's because that guy has a spiritual gift of encouragement, right? So it blessed me. If it's giving, then give generously, right? Whatever service you're doing, if you're grumpy about it, if you're complaining all the time, you're doing it wrong. Ask for some help. And if no help's there, keep asking God, what's this, how's this supposed to be? Serving God can be really hard, but Jesus had a generous attitude when he was serving God, even when it was really hard, right? He didn't want to go to the cross. It's okay if you don't want to show up and help in the nursery, but you're going to because you volunteer, right? That's good. You got to stick with it. But even while he's getting put on the cross, he's still saying, Father, forgive them, right? That's generous. Jesus is generous even when it's hard. If you can't be generous while you serve, something's broke. Fix it, right? My sister, when stuff would knock in her car, she would turn up her radio louder, right? Some of us do that, though, right? There's a problem, and we're just going to ignore it and keep working for Jesus. It's if you're complaining a lot, something's knocking in your engine, right? You need to get it checked out. Okay, if it's to lead, do it diligently. We should try hard. Just because we have a spiritual gift doesn't mean we don't try hard. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Think about if somebody had the spiritual gift of prophecy and they're laying hard truths on people about how they need to change, and then they're next to somebody who has a spiritual gift of mercy. They forgive like God forgives. If those people are not very mature, are they going to get along? Aren't they going to think that other person's so wrong? Aren't they going to think that other person hasn't read much of the Bible? And it's because they're seeing stuff through the gifts that God's given them. And they need to have the humility to realize, I'm not the total package. And if they would work together, how good would that be, right? To hit somebody with the hard truth and the God-like mercy because you have a team and you're trusting each other, right? But if they fight, we're not going to get much done, right? Okay, verse 9. We're going to go quicker through this. Love must be sincere. Oh, I'm sorry. Back it up. I skipped my little picture here. Real quickly, if you're at a farmer's market, here's some things before we get to this next passage. When I'm going through a line of peaches like this, this is what I'm expecting. I'm expecting the stuff that's coming right up to be really fresh, really, nutritious for me, and, really good, enjoyable. But I'm also expecting it to cost me a lot if you've bought peaches or whatever at a farmer's market. These next verses we're going to read, Paul's going to hit us real heavy with very specific things to do. I want you looking like we're at a farmer's market for what's the piece of fruit you're going to pick up. Pick one of these verses and say, I'm going to do that this week. Because if you don't know your spiritual gifts or you do know your spiritual gifts, you can put these verses into practice, right? Pick one of them. It's going to be really nutritious. By the end of it, you're going to say that's really tasty, I think by the time you get to the end at least. But also it's going to cost you something. If it's going to be faithful, it's going to be maybe hard to do at first, okay? Here's our verses. Rapid fire through them. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. What if this week you would love somebody at this church in a sincere way? And yeah, you are going to want to say something they're doing is wrong. But what if you held really tight to the good that's in them, right? We have a hard time doing that with people, right? A deep level where we can really be I don't like that part, and we need to work on it, but I'm going to hold on to the best things about that person. I'm going to sincerely love them. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Our culture doesn't like devotion, right? We don't like sticking through the hard and thin over a long period of time. And this is honor one another above yourselves. The next time a group of people that you're a part of get a compliment, what if you put all the light on everybody else in the room? But like, hey, all those other people, they're the real heroes, right? And you honored them above yourselves. When I do this a lot, what I realize is like, I said all that, and it's as it comes out of my mouth, I realize that's really true. Like, they really were the big deal. And I really wasn't as big of a part of this as they are, right? But just speaking humbly is good for your heart, okay? Verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal. Zeal means like this, like, whoo! I got the energy to go and do a thing. Some of us aren't like that with church, right? You're like, I've never heard that thing out of Jake before, right? Some of you are like walking around with none of that like energy either, right? But how do you do it? Keep your spiritual further by serving God. Some of us feel too tired to do anything good. But it's like if you've ever slept way too much over and over. I remember one summer break when I was a teenager. I slept so much that I started getting super tired. I don't know if anyone's ever experienced this. Like, you start sleeping 12 hours a day, you start feeling tired all the time. It was weird to me. Some of us have been doing that spiritually. And the answer is to get up and do something for somebody else. If you got no energy, do something for somebody else. Okay? Verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Wow. You going through something hard and you want to jump in the pool? Like, that kid picture looked really cool until it got practical. But if you're going through something hard, what if you read this verse every day and tried to do it? Hey, that's going to cost you something, right? Verse 13. Last verse for today. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This can mean giving somebody $5, but I heard a little video on the internet this week where somebody's talking about when they would see homeless people, they used to give them $5 because they didn't want to be around them, and it was worth the $5 to just get away. Yikes, right? That's not what this verse is talking about. It says, share. I remember a friend of mine used to share his actual lunch with these guys downtown that didn't have any food. Like, that's a different thing than giving somebody $5 of like, oh, we got, you know, ham and cheese sandwich today. I hope you like mustard or whatever. You know, here's half, right? And then hospitality. So it's a totally different deal. What if you were to look out this week of what do I have that I could share with somebody else who's in need, even another Christian who's in need? And what if I hosted them? You might not realize this, but something like a lunchbox can be a hostable moment if you go to somebody that's hungry. If you sit down and unzip a lunch thing or unwrap a lunch thing, like, you just became a host, right? Like, you don't need a dining room table and a bunch of candles. You got something that's worth sharing with somebody, right? Okay, we hit a lot of different stuff today. Here's our last little thing is back to this image. The rubber hits the road if you'll jump into the pool. If you don't know how to swim, like, you've probably missed out on some stuff in life, right? Like, there was some cool time when everybody was going skiing or something and you missed out. But here's the much bigger thing. If you had a loving adult in your life and you trusted them and let them lead you into areas that you weren't comfortable, you have a great relationship with somebody if they're still alive, right? So as big a deal as it is to learn to swim, as big a deal as it is to be a hospitable person who can share, the much bigger gift is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you start jumping into pools that you can't handle, but that he's called you to, right? I mean, if a kid just jumps in a pool and the dad's not there, like, that's an emergency, right? Like, don't just start doing a bunch of stuff because you want to be a hero. But listen, like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And then jump in with him and do it. You're going to come out the other side with a better relationship with him. I want to pray a blessing over you guys if you bow your heads. Jesus, I pray you make it really clear how we can grow in our faith with you through using a spiritual gift this week. If it's really clear, I know it still takes courage, but I trust you, Jesus, to set the bar at the right spot. Give us a challenge that we can do. Help us to bring courage to be faithful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.